We're going to go back in our teaching today. We're talking about, I entitled it In Due Time. It could be from the scripture. Look at the scripture sometimes in the use of that term in the scripture. Sometimes it says in due season, which could be translated either way. And also some translations translate it in the right time, which would be also a correct translation of that. But I want to look today, we're dealing with some things in the scripture about the right time. And what is, when we talk about in due season or the right time, we've been dealing with this. We got to look over on God's side because God's talking about the right time. We can't look over in the area the size of man's thinking or man's intellect. Because man's reasoning concerning God has never been good. We the church live on the side where God wants to take His wisdom, His revelation, things and reveal it to man so we can have the thoughts of God. But man has generally chosen to think his own thoughts, to try to reason out everything. It's like whether people realize, like one of the things we have really, and we deal in our society, and they deal with everyone, whether we go to Europe or any places, any place where there's lots of education, education's become the God. Because, I mean, even today, we got ministers who used to preach, you know, salvation and, you know, God creating the earth, and now today, you know, science has proved all kind of different things, and they say science. I mean, we got big name ministers now who you know, they believe the earth's evolution is what happened. And they're preaching it. They're out here preaching this. They're telling people this stuff. You know, they're telling people, you know, that you don't have to, hey, there is loads of ministries who preach born again, but don't believe in the virgin birth anymore. No, because it's not practical. They go to man's reasoning. That's man's reasoning. And do you know what man's reasoning did? It bought the flood. Man's reasoning bought the children of Israel to Babylon. Most of the people killed. That's what it did. God gave His reasoning, but man chose to think in his own way, have his own thoughts, chose not to believe Scripture. This is what amazes me the most about God. God, even in all of man and man's stupidity, God keeps trying to reach man. And He keeps trying to reach the ones who refuse Him all the time. They're always refusing Him. They're always, now they have their own thoughts and they got their own thinking about the deal and how it works. And I always wonder, well, how's it working out for you? Because this is one thing I know, people aren't happy at all. You'll always find these people thinking their own thoughts and they're miserable. And they're trying to make it miserable for other people too. They do their best. You know, it's hard. They talk about, you know, people can talk about faith all they want. But dealing in the areas of faith, faith isn't built on human reasoning. But faith has nothing to do with what really would make sense to man, and man's trying to figure out things. That's not what it does. And so one of the things that is, if God has times and He does things the right time, then the one thing that you and I need to understand, what is the right time? When is it? When is this time? When is it due season? God could not hide it from man. And man, you know, not know about it, and God hold people accountable. So God has to be revealing. You know, just like in the days we live today. Now, I remember years ago, people were more big on Jesus Christ's return. People talk about it today, but really, they generally don't believe it because you can see by their actions, they don't believe it. We've gotten into a lot of talking, but understand, it was the same way. We're going to look at today. When the Messiah came to the earth the first time, His people, His covenant people, were exactly like most of the churches today, identical to the average person who even calls himself a Christian. It's identical in the same way. It was due season for the Messiah to come, but yet the nation of Israel as a whole missed the whole thing and ended up being destroyed by the Romans. Israel was carried off into the nations, and that stuff as a nation was dispersed. And all these years has paid a huge penalty for refusing to listen. In fact, they went so far that God generally quit drawing them as a nation. The scripture tells us the veil's over their eyes today. They don't see. Now, God's gonna draw Israel again, but I tell you, Israel's paid a high price. And I just want to tell you, there's Christians that are going to pay a terrible high price because refusing to pay attention to God's time. God is doing everything that He can to draw people today. God is doing everything that he can to try to draw people. People are making their own choices, and then, you know, this religion stuff don't make any sense, and this does. Well, sure, because they take their human reasoning and are trying to understand God. And it's number one, if somebody's not born again, they couldn't understand God anyhow. Amen. They ain't going to understand him anyhow. The main thing a person has to do is receive Christ. They must be born again to have the wisdom of God. And we need to understand how important this is, because we're dealing in an age and time that's really, people are missing it. They missed it in that day when the Messiah came to Israel. Now, if you and I would have lived back at that time, and having the knowledge that we have today, if you would have went in to Jerusalem, and you would have went down to the temple, and you would have went in among the priests and the Pharisees and Sadducees who were there and the scribes, and you would have asked them about the Messiah, they could probably quote twice as many scriptures than you know. And they could do it from the Old Testament and tell you more about the Messiah than a lot of Christians know today with the New Testament. They could have told you all about it. They could have gave you all the scriptures. See, knowing about the Bible doesn't mean you know where you're at all. Has no clue. Information, just having information. What people need is revelation. I can maybe know that God wants to send the Messiah, but what is the good if I don't know when he shows up? What's good? See, the Messiah is coming back. He's going to show up. In 1950, Kenneth Hagin was told by the Lord in a vision, many of my people won't be ready to meet me at my coming. Why? Well, I understand today. You know, when I first heard that, when I first got born again in the 80s, you know, there's this move of God going on and all that stuff. But when I look today, it won't surprise me at all. Many Christians are not ready. They're not ready to meet. They've gotten into their intellectualism. They've gotten into all these things as, you know, why me and things happen in this earth and all this kind of, well, I call it whining. It isn't whining. It's whining. And whining never leads to anything good. Never leads to nothing good. It don't ever. You know, the whiner don't, you know, I mean, dear Lord, I mean, we got so much whining today going on out here. I mean, if you look from the news medias and you look at all the things and, you know, you go online and people whining, you know, it's like, what good does it bring? What does it matter? It's finding out what's true and what's going on. And we're going to look at these today because, see, God had a plan for man. Now think about this. God had a guy in the earth, his name back, we could look back at Noah, in Noah and the earth. God gave 120 years of trying to get the people ready. None of those people could stand before God and say, we didn't know. Say, no, we chose not to believe the God that you sent to tell us. We just chose not to do that. Do you think God wasn't trying to bear witness with the people that Noah was telling the truth? Was God trying to hide it from them? No, he wasn't. They chose. You see, you can't blame God for the flood because they chose the flood. They chose that. That's what they chose. They chose destruction. They chose destruction over life. That's what they chose. They chose destruction. No, we're not going to believe it. This is what we're going to choose. Now, see, people like this, they want to make their own decisions. And why can't we learn God? You know, this mean God, you know, he's doing things. And this God doing stuff. And they don't realize their choices. People hate to live with their choices. They don't want to live with their choices. They want to live, you know, God is supposed to be this God they call it today. They preach God love. So God's going to give you everything and be really, he's going to give you everything you want while you make all bad choices. You make all the wrong choices, but you're going to get everything. You're going to get everything right. I mean, you have to be about the mentality of about a one-year-old to think that anything like that's true. Mm-hmm. It don't work that way. Right. It's not what it is. It doesn't work like that. And see, we need to understand this. God gave us choice. Now, you know, I've learned this in my life. You know, there was choices I made that weren't good. And even as Christians, we make choices. Sometimes they aren't good. They aren't a good choice. And we may not like the outcome of the choice, but it's what we chose. And our idea, you know, is, well, we ought to have somebody to bail us out. We don't like things to come along and things to happen. When things happen in life, you know, it's one thing, as I thank God, you know, I got to grow up in a family where they taught us maturity and they taught us how to grow up. And, you know, when things come along and happen, take responsibility. And, you know, that you're living in this world, and even if you don't do things wrong, things happen. And you have a choice whether you stand to walk right or you just become a whiner. You just become like everybody. It's just a complainer and a griper. Why has this happened to me? It's because you live in this earth, knucklehead. You're just here. And stuff happens. And there's an enemy, a devil, that don't like you. And he'll come along and do things. And you know what? It's one thing is I learned this as a young Christian, Kenneth Hagin. He said, when these things come along, this is a wonderful time to use your faith and prove that the word's true.
Amen.
No, this is a wonderful time to whine and scrape. See, you can spend all that time over there and playing in that place, but I will guarantee you next year is going to be worse for you because you've got yourself in a worse position. Mm-hmm. You get further away from faith. You get further away from trust. And see, the patterns in the Bible, we see this. People get further and further away from God. They get further and further away that after a while, don't seem they can get back to it. They can't get back to it. It's a very dangerous place. Yet we see the pattern in the Word. The people in the earth got so far away from God for 120 years, a guy's preaching to them, and they can't respond to it. What happened to them? Well, it wasn't God. God wasn't trying to do that to them. God sent a guy to save them. God sent a guy to preach them so it don't happen. They said, no, we don't want it that way. We want it another way. We have another idea. God sends salvation, but they don't want that salvation. They have another idea. See, we became smart. One of the things that people don't realize is the intellect of people in the world during that time period. We have today, like, you know, we've listened to science so much, we sort of think they were Stone Age people. We weren't. You know, after a short time that man was in the earth and created, he was working in metals and everything. There wasn't cave people back then. People who end up living in caves because they turn around and wouldn't follow God and end up so stupid and ignorant, but they didn't start out that way. Men had intelligence at that time. There was things of technology. I mean, we go back. Scientists today are still trying to figure out how the Egyptians built the pyramids. What morons! Some guy went to college and still can't figure it out. I mean, get a life. I was watching a show years ago one time, and this guy came along, this scientist, and he was saying there was no way aliens had to build those pyramids because nobody could build a foundation as level as their foundation was. He said nobody could do that. Not that they didn't have the instruments to do it. So this one guy who was a contractor who worked around things, he said, I can make a perfectly level foundation. I make it perfect. He said, just give me sticks and strings and stuff. And he said, I'll make a perfect one. And he went out there and dug an area out. They turned around and put stakes in and they poured water into it. And he went around at all the level the water in and marked it. They drained it out. And then he made his foundation, the whole thing there, perfectly level without any kind of instruments or nothing. But see, we've all gone to school today, you know. Geniuses. Loads of stuff is lost. Loads of things. I mean, we turn around and we go down to Peru. Who can you find a guy that could cut rock like the Peruvians did and lay them together? You can't even slide a... They use stone to do it, to make stone, to cut stone. Man, we hardly cut it with metal instruments. I mean, we're so bad off today, we have a tough time trying to figure out how to do things. I mean, in the United States, our scientists today cannot figure out how to take our old nuclear weapons that were made after the Second World War, how to take them apart. We have all this disarmament stuff, but can't figure out how to disarm them. We can't take them apart because we got so genius. We're so smart. See, you can't think on man's level and know God. It'll never happen to you. Never happen to you. It'll never go. There's one thing I found. When you respond by faith to God, and faith isn't you know everything. You just look at His Word and it says about Him is true and that's it. Then God can reveal you things, but He will not reveal Himself to you as long as you think you're smart. You don't need him if you're smart. See, there's this thing of humility that we have lost. We have too much arrogance today. Too much people thinking they're such geniuses. No, our God's a genius. And we sure need to know things from him today. We need to understand things today. We need insight. And we want to do that. God right now is trying, his big thing is to reveal to the world. He wants right now his plans and purposes. He wants people to know we're drawing to the end of an age. We're drawing to the end of an age. And I'll tell you, it's not hidden. And we want to see, it's going to be the same patterns. It's just like in Noah's day they preach. But I want you to think about it. Let's look at the time that the Messiah came into the earth. The Messiah came into the earth. We won't look at all of it today. We'll talk just to talk about a few things. God came along. And first of all, the Messiah. He didn't bring the Messiah like somebody would think. See, if God would have asked you before the Messiah came, how would you go about revealing who the Messiah was? What would you think how you would do it? Well, you know, in America, it would be an extravaganza, you know. You would just have this, and this is what most Americans think. They think, well, they get this thought in their mind, you know, that, well, God would really wants everybody to know. So if he wants everybody to know, then he's going to come and do this thing in this great extravaganza where he's going to do all this stuff and he'll do all the things. It's just like, you know, people say, well, when Jesus is in the earth, he healed, to prove that he was God. Well, he sure did a terrible job at it because they didn't believe he was God. All of Jesus' healing, think about it, Capernaum. Jesus cursed three cities during his ministry. And in those three cities, he said that when the day of judgment comes, they're going to be worse off than Sodom and Gomorrah. Three of them. And they were three of them that he did mighty miracles in like crazy. These people say, well, I want to see something from God. Well, you won't believe it anyhow if you saw it, so it don't matter. There are the people who don't believe. I want to see. They saw it. Capernaum saw loads of miracles. And Jesus cursed Capernaum and said, you're going to be worse off than Sodom and Gomorrah the day of judgment. Why? Because what was done in you, he said, would have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah. They would have repented. The non-repentant people today, even Christians, non-repentant. Non-repentant Christians. Non-repentant. God moves or God does, you know, God don't do it my way. I'm mad. You know, that's me. I'm unhappy. God didn't do it the way I wanted. You do it for me. But anyhow, but God's doing it. God comes along. He chooses what is considered an insignificant woman. Who's Mary? You know, who's this? Who is she? God chooses to come through. He doesn't come. He is not going to be the big deal. It's not going to be the big parade down Broadway. It's not going to be all this thing. It didn't come. This is the way God chose. But understand, God did supernatural things to manifest it. You know, just like when Jesus was born. God turns around and he reveals himself to shepherds. You see, it's one thing. Understand this. You need to understand the times that you were in. God moved according to what man would allow him to do. See, we talked about this before. In Israel, people were generally poor. They were generally poverty. There was nobody down at the temple that would believe a shepherd about having a vision and seeing angels. They wouldn't, because historically, they know. They thought the poor people, there's no way they could even be saved. They were poor. They were so messed up, God wouldn't even save them. That's what those people down at the temple believed. I mean, look at the scribes and the Pharisees, how they treated people that Jesus would heal. They treated them like they were, you know, some kind of lowlifes, you know. This guy couldn't be a Messiah. He couldn't be God. This couldn't be God working. Why? He'd be up there with us, because he were the... But see, Jesus manifested, but it's really interesting. We even look at the poor people. Jesus manifested. The scriptures tell us, we know when the shepherds, God revealed himself to the shepherds, that the shepherds, they went and turned around. If you look over in Luke in the second chapter, he talks about them. They were turned around. God, when they saw and found out about Jesus, and he went down and says they went around and told everybody about it. Through the area. And all the people said they marveled about it. They marveled about this. But isn't it interesting? These guys hear this announcement about this child. Here's a people looking for the Messiah. These people just out are looking for the Messiah. They say they're looking. Now, you got to get this because, see, they're looking for the Messiah, yet they don't find the Messiah. They say they're looking. They have their ideas about the Messiah. They have their thoughts about the Messiah. They don't have God's thoughts. Yet there's ones who do. Now, some poor shepherds out there, they come and they tell people all about this Messiah. They tell them. They have this thing happens. But what does it produce generally among the people? You would think that everybody had been just really fired up that, hold it, we've been looking for the Messiah. These guys saw an angel. These guys, it is one thing, as I've learned this years ago, I've heard it said, and you've heard me say it. You know, God will send you what you need in a package you don't want. The shepherds weren't a package that people wanted. No, I'm sorry. You were supposed to operate through the high priest down there, and if a high priest tells us, then we'll know it is. He couldn't have talked to those high priests for nothing. Those were the people who killed the Messiah. Those are the people who said, we're looking for the Messiah. If he'll come and worship me. If he'll come and worship me, then I'll believe he's the Messiah. You know, they're looking for these kinds of things, but God's moving. Here God's moving. So God's doing supernatural things for these ones. But we're going to look today. I want to go over, we're going to read because one of the things we have is in Jerusalem. This really sort of blows my mind. If you, we talk about during these time periods and lots of times in the stories that are told, or you know, over the years I've learned this is like the things that I was told kids in church and even preached as an adult in church about Christmas was already really supernatural, superficial stuff. You just taught, you know, very shallowly, but people, there's revelation that we begin to understand because there's patterns, and you find these patterns. You find, see, God's warning people back at the flood. God's warning people. He gives man 120 years to repent. That's what he gave man, 120 years to repent. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the children of Israel, before God brought them, the reason the children of Israel were 400 years, actually they were 435 years in Egypt, because the Amorites, God gave the Amorites, the scripture says, he was waiting for them to repent. Gave the Amorites 400 years to repent. 400 years! Anybody want to talk about the mercy of God? 400 years he gave them. And so people go, why did you go there? And God destroyed those people. He went and sent Israel over there to run them out. God didn't just go throw those people out. He gave them 400 years to get right. They had generation after generation to return, refused to change. And people say, well, I don't understand why that happened. Well, you ought to read the Bible sometime. You'd figure something out. God might reveal something to you. But no, we follow the Bible under our thinking, you know, our own thinking, what we think's love and what we think's mercy. God is more merciful than the love that we share today that people talk about. He's 100 times. I mean, give somebody 400 years? Dear Lord. Sounded like he really wanted to save them. I mean, good God. I mean, how do you... 400 years given the Amorites the opportunity to repent. Whew. So God has a plan, but see, we see patterns. God comes along and he isn't. Israel. Now just think about, we're dealing with Israel. We look from the time of when Noah dies, and we have 2,000 years passed. And in that 2,000 year period, God is continually revealing. Through those 2,000 period, you will find the prophets and things, all the things that they're saying about the Messiah. God is speaking to them the whole time. We can go back, you know, from God, you know, God introduced the sacrificial system. I mean, right back with Adam and Eve. I mean, they understood. See, we should know by the revelation. I mean, when God came along, we'll take Cain and Abel. God had already revealed to them the type of sacrifice he wanted. Abel knew what to do. So they all knew what to do. God was telling man needed a covering for sin. You know, man wanted to cover his body and he decided a way, but man needed a covering from sin. That's what he needed. And that's what sacrificial thing was about. God was introducing the revelation of the need of a Messiah from back then, that man needed a covering. Sin had put man in a bad position. If anything, you and I need to understand that. We've lost that in the church today because there is no sin. I can be as heathen as I want, and there God loves me, and, you know, whatever else we think, you know, and we go through this whole thing, and we don't realize the importance of Jesus dying for us from the standpoint of our sin. We needed sin dealt with. My sin had to be dealt with. And if your sin ain't dealt with, nobody, unless they're born again, is going to see the kingdom of God. It will not happen. I don't care who tells you what, tells you anything. People say, well, I got my sin forgiven. That does not send you to heaven. You don't get to heaven because your sin was forgiven. You get to heaven because you were born again. Everybody's sin's already been forgiven. The Bible says so. You got to receive it and be born again. And that's how you get into the kingdom. That's just the way it is. So God established a way for people to get into the kingdom, but people want another way. They don't think, they think they come up with a better idea. So they have their idea what it ought to be, and so they know better than God, so they become their own God. Now I'm God, and I'm going to determine how my destiny is going to be because of the way I want to believe. Well, rut's a ruck on that one. It's not going to work out too well for anybody on that. But we want to look at something. God comes along, and this is a thing that amazes me. God, if we look at God moving, God reaches out to every group of people trying to reach them concerning the Messiah. We have the story of the wise men, what we want to look at there. The wise men really weren't, like we would talk about wise men, that term is used, but it really, those guys weren't, they weren't under the covenant of God. They weren't Jewish believers. They weren't converts to Judaism. They were Persian. And these guys, they did a lot of studying in astrology and all that kind of stuff. They would read this, got the stuff of reading the stars and that kind of stuff. And I'm amazed how many Christians do that today. I didn't realize it was so much in Christianity, people doing that stuff, going to astrology and kind of stuff. Loads of it are doing that stuff now. You know, they're looking to the stars. Well, you don't follow God. You don't read the Bible. You might as well, you're going to follow something. You know, might as well look to the stars. You don't have faith. Everybody believes in something. Now, you know, there is no such thing. Any man that ever tells me he's an atheist is the biggest liar on the face of the earth. They're liars. There's nobody that says, well, I don't believe in a God at all. Well, if you didn't, and you believe you die, you go into nothing, I'd want to leave here today. Why put up with all this earth and everything? If there's nothing beyond here and this is just, we're dead and just gone into nothing, you went, what on earth do you want to stay here for and put up with all this grief? That's why we have young people today committing suicide so much, is because of heathen adults pushing this junk around God's. They're setting people up to die to think, oh, you know, I'm going to leave this earth and everything's going to be all right. And it is. Yeah, this, I can't take the pain here. I kill myself. It all goes away. Where do they find out what happens on the other side? They'll find this was the best they're ever going to have it now for eternity was right here is where they were going to get it. And we have adults that are trying to lead the young people keep them into spiritual death, trying to get them to kill themselves. And their paganism. And it is shameful. I mean, I was just, they just put what that study out. They just put a study out. The percentage of young people that have considered suicide. I mean, it's a hugely high percentage of young people considering suicide. I'm going to tell you, a lot of adults are going to stand before God. I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to be in the lake of fire with them. They're going to have severe, terrible judgment of what they have done to others. Too many adults don't have any love or care for the young people in the earth. They don't. They don't care. I want what I want in life, and I want to have what I have in life. And that's just, I'm just going to live my life to the fullest. You know, me and Budweiser or something. I don't know. Hallelujah. But God wants to reach in the world. Look what God did in Matthew. I'm going to go to Matthew and look in the area of what they call the wise men. And in the second chapter. And see what, here's God. God's turning around to reach out to his people. Now, this is one of the groups he wants to reach to. But it says now, and I'm starting the first verse, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, that was Herod the great, he said, behold, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, you know, to me, this has always been a fascinating thing since I ever got born again, was the fact of here we go down to Jerusalem. And I said, Jerusalem's a place, if you and I would have been at that time and we went in and asked them about the Messiah, they knew all about it. But they don't know that it's the time of the Messiah. They don't know. And you know who knows? Some Persian dudes that are called Magi. And they're stargazers and stuff, and they have a lot of sort of demonic stuff and things and their religious beliefs and all that. Yet God got across to them. And I want you to know something. It's going to happen in this age and time that we're in. God's going to reach the people. God is going to God is visiting people. We're in a time right now that God's revealing himself. If somebody don't know, it's because people haven't chose to know the time that they're in. People are not listening. They're not asking God themselves. They're waiting for the next book to come out by the next big scribe who puts out his book of what's going on and puts out his next revelation of what's going on. People aren't seeking God for themselves. Now we know, how do these guys turn around and talk about they saw his star? How did they know that? Well, we don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we do know this because in Persia is where in Babylon, is where the children of Israel were at that time. It's one of the things that you'll find like these magi and these different groups, they weren't just like a one religion person. They were sort of like what I would call, in a sense, almost like, not quite like a Buddhist, but sort of in this sense. See, Buddhism, when I was a sinner, in fact, when I was in Vietnam, I was really looking at religions to see, because, you know, I was really disgruntled because of Christianity, because all the things I was told about it, which turned out not to be true. And I was what on earth's going on with this? So I was looking at religions and I got overlooked at Buddhism. And the thing that really turned me off of Buddhism, because I went into a Buddhist temple while I was in Vietnam. And I went to this Buddhist temple, they had this pretty good size. This was one like a main, more of a main temple, and went into it. And the Buddhist priest, they took me into their library, and they had this big library of books. And what I found out was, you know, see, and I caught on to it immediately. Well, they have no truth because they don't believe in truth. They believe in philosophies, and they had everybody. I mean, you could go in there. They had King James Bibles in there. You can, in their library, they take things from all these different regions. They take, and so what it does, and I was, you know, basically you pick out the things that you like. So in other words, you develop your own religion. You develop your own ideas. You develop your own things. And they have certain principles they say are good to do. But basically, you're picking out of all this stuff what you'd like. When I went in there, I thought, well, these guys ain't got the answer. Because they don't know what it is. They're just picking. They're like I am. They were no better than searching and what I was doing. I didn't know what the truth was and I wanted to find it. And I went to them and thought, God, these people are worse off than me. They don't even know. They aren't even able to find it. I thought, my God, these guys are in bad shape. At least I had enough sense. Do you know what? Most Christians don't have enough sense. They don't know anything. They don't have enough sense. They don't have enough sense to know they're swallowing things that shouldn't be swallowed. They don't know. Why? Because they're never asking God questions. They're always looking for somebody to give them an answer. Somebody, I'm sorry, God gives it answers. I don't have to chase everybody under the sun to find out. God can get a hold of me.
Amen.
And you need that. Because there's many voices, folks. Many voices. Many voices are speaking and what's going on. I often thought about what did the people of that time see? Their religion had shut them out. Judaism had shut them out. The priesthood had shut them out. The scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees had shut the people out. You know, they just went up the temple because as you just go up there and I gave them the job. You take your offerings up there and that kind of stuff. You go in there and give them your, you know, tithe and do all that stuff. So you keep them in money and then you do all those things and that's just to keep them in their job. But they didn't really believe those people were ever going to make it. They had no hope for those people whatsoever. And those people are looking to them as the people of truth. But you know what? Even them could have found out because there was ones who found out for themselves. There's ones, we have ones that did. God visits Magi. God visited men who must have had some kind of revelation that they must have gotten from the Jews that was passed down. Something about a star thing was come to the king. How else would they know that? Unless a supernatural God visited them or something in some way or other, an angel or something, would have told them something. But God visited those guys. God visited them. Now, there wasn't three wise men. The Bible never says that. Those guys, Magi, they traveled in groups. In fact, the history says that I wasn't there, so I don't, I'm just historians. They said they could travel in groups up to 60, because they said, number one, in those days, three guys would have never traveled with a bunch of money anywhere. You wouldn't have left your house to go down the street, because it wasn't safe around the places. When you travel in distance at that time around places, robbers were everywhere. I mean, even in Jesus' day, Jericho was called the Bloody Road. It's a place you didn't walk down to Jericho from Jerusalem because you were going to get robbed. You were going to get robbed going down there. And so people, you know, we need to understand the conditions of the time that you're in. And God, so these guys show up. In fact, these guys must have held some very high esteem coming from what they did because, I mean, Herod wasn't exactly a nobody. King Herod the Great. I mean, he had a lot of pull. He had so much pull that he kills all the children from 2 years old down in a town and nobody says nothing about it. We're not talking about some little dude of importance in Rome. Rome don't say nothing to him about it. Yet his son kills some people, and his son is shipped off to Gaul. You know, his son took over when he died. If you go over and study history on that, his son took over, and that's why when Joseph didn't come back and stay in Jerusalem, they went up to Nazareth because his son was in charge at that time after he died, and they didn't go back there. But anyhow, we need to understand the times and the time period that people are living in, the stuff that's going on. But yet God visited these guys up there, up in Persia, and they went out and they come down. They know who he is, who this child is. They know he's the king of the Jews. Now, this Messiah, they're supposed to be looking for him. Now, here it says, verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. In other words, this thing got spread all through Jerusalem. These guys knew where the Messiah was. Well, wouldn't you think that would do something to the place? Did nothing. These guys, wouldn't you think it's supernatural that some guys outside know your Messiah's been born? But you know what? These people, see, they have their system, their thoughts, their ways of running things. They have neglected God and neglected God and neglected God till they can't even believe what's going on anymore. They can't even believe it. They're unable to. See, it's never a good thing. This whole idea, you can always get straightened around. No, you can't. You can go too far. When you go too far where God can't reach you anymore, you're in big trouble. And people, look at this. Hold Jerusalem is up on this. It says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired to them where the Christ would be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus he said, it's written by the prophets, so they gave him the scripture. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. In other words, he's going to be down there, you know, he's going to be south of Jerusalem, which is, Bethlehem's right nearby. Bethlehem's about, 20 miles away from there. This is where this guy's going to be. He's going to be, they know that. They get guys come there and tell them, we're coming. We saw his star. We're going to come. The king of the Jews. And so what does Herod do? It's amazing to me in this. See, Herod believed it. And Herod's a downright heathen, murderous heathen. He believes it. Where are the rest? Where are all the big religious boys? Where are all the ones with the big ministries? Where are these guys? He believes it. It says that Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. So he found out what time did this tower. He wanted to know the details of it. When did it? See, he's got something set up. See, Herod's a guy who killed his own wife because he thought she was going to try to take his throne from him. And his one kid, he had him killed too. He was a very friendly dude. He was. But understand this, he was no better than the religious people. They killed the guy who was the Messiah. Herod was no more evil than they were. Herod wasn't any more evil. He said, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. You know, which is interesting, don't sound like this is a regular star. This ain't a regular star. This isn't what they were seeing. This is not some regular thing. I always like quote Christians and the theologians are always trying to figure out which star it was and what it is and all that. Go down to the bar and drink. You're as dumb as a stick. Because see, we've thrown the supernatural out. And the whole thing of it is we want God to do supernatural when we really don't believe in it. We don't believe in it. People don't have any faith it's going to happen. They'd like say, I'd like to have it. Well, Capernaum had it. What'd they do with it? The only people that are going anywhere are the people of faith. That's it. They're the only ones. People are going to trust God. See, I'm going to trust God. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. Everything don't have to turn out my way for me to trust God. If it does, then I've become God. I'm the one who calls the shots. Now it's me. I'm the one. Follow me. Worship me. You see, these people got over. They become so smart. See, they're going to determine. I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. Well, I'd first like to hear from God on it. I'd first like to know from God. Here God is among the people that are still looking for the Messiah. God's among them. So, Herod said he wanted to worship him. Well, if they knew anything about Herod, but they must not have. It says, when they heard the king, it says, they departed and behold the star which they had seen in the east went before them till they came and stood over where the young child was. Now we know this. This was not, this says young child. This is not Jesus. The Bible talks about the word babe, and here the word child is used. This word child and the word babe are two different things. He wasn't a baby. He's a child. This would be like a little kid. Well, in fact, we know this for a fact because of Herod killing the children in Bethlehem. Killed them up to 2 years old. And it says when they came to the house. So in other words, they were living in a house. They weren't in a stable. They didn't come the night. They weren't there that night. Time had passed. And we know what time had passed because you go over and read in Luke's account. Luke talks about Mary. She had at 40 days after the giving birth, and then it was required of the woman to go to the temple to give us a sacrifice. She would do two doves. That'd be 40 days after the new birth. So we know that they went up to Jerusalem and did that, and those things happened. Those things took place, and that's before the wise men showed up, because the wise men showed up after that. So it wasn't on the night of his birth. And so, but what we want to see is God is working in this whole time, giving people, letting people know what's going on. There's nobody in Jerusalem who knew about this thing is ever going to stand before Jesus and said, we knew Messiah came. Oh, yes, you did. You had a choice. See, people do this all the time. They don't say, well, somebody says, I don't believe it. Well, did you ask God whether it was true or not? Did you ever take the time to find out? Or you just throw it out? Do you really know who God's talking through or not? See, we don't take that today. We have our favorites and they're hearing from God. Our favorites haven't done so well. Why? Because they're just humans like we are. If you want to find something out, ask God. That's what Brother Hagin said. You know, if I prophesy to you, he said, you don't receive it unless it bears witness with you. He said, if it don't bear witness with you, just throw it out. Oh, we don't do that today. Today, we're looking for somebody. I can't tell you you're in the right time. I can preach about this and do it all I want, but you're going to have to figure it out for yourself. You're going to have to get a bear witness in your heart. God bearing witness with you, not God bearing witness with Ed. I already know. I don't need that. You're going to have to get it for you. I can't do that. That's you and God. See, this is the wonder of you and I have the Holy Spirit. And the church is living today like we don't have the Holy Spirit. We're waiting for somebody else to give us everything. We're waiting for everybody else to come and tell, and you know, give me all the right things and tell me all the right stuff. Lay it out in a pattern that really looks good to me. And I'm telling you, I keep finding out the patterns don't always sit clear, but it's because of what man has done. God is doing everything he can to reach man in the middle of man's messed up decisions. And man continually hindered his way. Man continually. Why couldn't Israel walk with God where God could just come and reveal to them? If you sit down and like you read like Josephus, before the temple in Jerusalem fell with the Romans came and took Jerusalem and destroyed it, the amount of supernatural manifestation, Josephus, who was a historian of the age, writes about the things that happened, supernatural manifestations, and the Jews ignored it all. Manifestations. People for days saw in the skies, it was written, they saw a war going on in the skies in these battles. God's trying to tell them, war's coming. They ignored the thing completely. This is what they believed that God was showing them they're going to have this great victory. Why didn't you ask God about what it was supposed to be? But they, for days on end, everybody in Jerusalem saw it. They would see that things going on. A red heifer right in the temple gave birth to a lamb. It happened. There's all kind of things. Supernatural stuff was done. All kind of things. God was trying to give them warnings. There's all kind of things God did. And yet they ignored it. They ignored it. They ignored it. Ignored it. You know, wow, you know that, you know. They read everything the way they wanted to read them. Nobody ever stopped to ask God. Nobody ever stops and finds out from God. Everybody just, they go on and say, well, we know these scriptures. Well, what good did that do them? Did it do any good to know the scriptures? No, because there was no revelation in it. When are those scriptures supposed to be revealed? When are they supposed to happen? When it is, am I in the time or I'm not in the time? See, I've watched this. I've watched people say, God told me that I'm going to be here when Jesus returns. I've had people say that. I've seen people do that. And I've seen them leave and go to heaven, and it didn't happen. Well, did God tell them that? Seems odd to me that he would go tell them that. You see, there's people. Like my father. My father believed totally that he was going to be here when Jesus came back. Because, see, he came out in the 1950s, and boy, they were just pushed at that. You know, that was a big thing, and it was a push. But see, they didn't know the time. And I don't blame them. But they didn't really know that. Look, it's important right now. We know the time. Where are we in this thing? Where are we at? See, people say this, Jesus could come at any time. No, he couldn't. You think he don't know when he's coming back? People say that, and religion says this stuff. How do we labor and work here if we don't know the time? What am I supposed to do? You know, you go out here a farmer and he don't know seasons? I'm going to tell you what, he ain't going to be in business long. If he is in business, he ain't going to make money much. But everything's like that. You know, any business is like that, knowing and understanding seasons and times that you're producing things. If you're producing a product, you got to know about your sales and when your sales are going to work the best and things. You know this kind of stuff. There's seasons in everything. There's all kinds of stuff that had to be done. I mean, if you're out here building snow plows, you usually are not in July. That's going to be your big time of selling them snow plows. although you do, people smartly do run sales during those times. I saw here this past summer, there were some places running some sales on snowblowers. People thought that, but you know what? It would have been a good time to buy one because they had some good prices on the stuff they were trying to move. You'd really save some money. Now today you'll pay $1,000 more for that thing. It was good. But see, the guy has to know his time. Do I really want one in that time? But knowing your time, this is really a hugely important thing. These guys understood. They came there, said they went to tell, you know, the child says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the child and Mary, his mother, fell down and worshiped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from there on their own country another way. Do you see that? They were given a divine dream. You can't get a divine dream down in up in Jerusalem. You can't get one. Why? They put themselves in a bad position. They can know. They're the people that are supposed to be. They have the covenant of God. They're supposed to be seeking God. And they're not. They're following their religious stuff. These guys here, they're not in the same boat. They're not in the same place. God gives them a dream, tells them, don't go back and tell this guy. You know, you'd sure think in this day and time, these people are supposed to be looking for Messiah. There ain't a crowd running around that town trying to find out. But there ain't. Where are the priests? Where are the scribes? Where are the Pharisees? Where's the high priest at? Where's he at? No, you go find out and then you come and tell me. That's the average Christian today. You seek God and find out, and I'll complain. Oh, I don't know. I don't believe it. I don't believe that stuff works and that stuff. No, you can't walk in my faith. You can't live there. You have to live in your faith. You can't live in another person's faith. You can't go there. I don't care what you listen God did for me. Don't mean you're going to ever get any of it. Don't mean I'm ever going to get anything another man where he walks in his faith. I'm going to have the exact same faith to get it. We have this crazy idea that I thank God that people, I learned about how to walk by faith by listening to what other people did in their faith. But I mean, you know, I sure didn't start off where they were. Care what they said. I had to develop my own faith. I had to develop in my own place where I could walk. Amen. See, I might be able to quote all the scriptures and say everything and say I believe. That don't mean nothing. Amen. I'm going to find out. I'll find out what you believe by what you're doing and how you're acting. Amen. I'll tell you in 10 seconds whether you were ever in faith. Well, sure. That was me. I've done that already. Talking about being in faith, and when I had really got down to it, I said, you know, I really wasn't believing. I need to get this straightened out. You ain't going to get there blaming God. That's one thing. You won't get there. You're going to have to. You got to believe God. You do. And there's nothing wrong with that. See, God deals with us. The body of Christ is a body of people operating gifts. But God's personal to each person. He's not personal to a preacher. God was personal to me from the time I got born again. And I would seek him and God would show me things and do things. That's where the faith is built up into things. It isn't sitting and just listening to somebody else preach. Thank God the stuff I've listened to, it helped me, but it helped me build my personal relationship with God. My faith is built on my personal relationship with him, not a book. These people had the book and where were they? They didn't know where the Messiah was. You know, this thing, look today, this is the same pattern falling today that many don't know. They have all this. They got the book. You know, it's sort of like, you know, do you ever go to work on something and you have a manual with it to go and you go to work on a thing and you're just reading the manual and things just don't make sense to you and you're trying to do it. But then you get some guy who has worked on the thing and he comes and says, and you go, oh my God, that's what that was trying to tell me. You ever been there? I visited that place a few times. You know, somebody with some wisdom had came along and had revelation who had actually done it, walked in it and said, oh, and I sat there and read that and thought, gee, I didn't know what that meant. I thought I had an idea, but that wasn't what it was. I've done that in my Christian walk. I thought there things were dealing with certain stuff. I had things where the Lord spoke to me specifically about scripture. And I looked down and I said, Lord, I can see that now. But I said, I don't know if anybody had ever said that. I said, I never heard that from anybody. I said, if you wouldn't have shown me, I'd have never known that. I never heard anybody ever say it. But right there it is in Scripture. I thought, how many times I read that? And, but you know what? I always read it for what other people said it meant. And there it was. But see, I'm not this person that's this favorite person. This is God in a relationship with you.
Amen.
Because see, when we do this, we get over and we look at God's working. You know, we find out what happened here. God turns around and tells Joseph, he said, you know, get this child and get him to Egypt. He said, this guy's going to try to kill him. Get this child. So he takes his wife and child. He leaves. He goes to Egypt. But we need to, you know, there are people who know what's going on. There's people who know, really what's happening. And we need to walk in the light of these things in the, let me see where that's at. Well, just like it here is like Simeon. Now here's Simeon. Now here's a guy. He's not a special ministry. He's in that day. Simeon. In Luke, the second chapter, says it's Simeon. And says, this is what it says. This is when Mary comes into the temple. She comes in with Joseph and the baby, and she's going to go through her purification. She offers two turtle doves as an offering and that stuff for her purification after giving birth after 40 days. It says, in verse 25 says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's talking about the Messiah. He's waiting for the Messiah. He said, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now here's a guy, the Holy Spirit's on this guy. He's not some special ministry. Here's a guy living, walking, under the law of Moses, like you're supposed to, following it. He knows, he says, he's looking for the consolation. It says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So here this guy was, and it actually worked. You see, this is one of the things that I found out. People keep talking about Jesus is going to be soon coming back. And I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. People make statements based on things they put in themselves, not God put in them. They put it in themselves that I was going to be here, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be here. And Kenneth Hagin, I remember him saying this to us and teaching us in school. He said, you keep putting something into your spirit and your spirit will speak back to you and you'll swear it was God talking to you. And he said, it wasn't. That's your spirit talking back to you. You put it in your spirit. See, and people get it in. It's just like my dad and his belief. And that's one of the things before my dad died, he was laying in a bed and they were saying he was unconscious. I knew he wasn't. I knew he could hear me. His spirit's alive to God. And I talked to him about that. I said, Dad, you always thought you were going to be here. When Jesus returned, I said, Dad, you're not. I said, you need to go. It's time to leave. See, it didn't matter what he believed about it. You got to know your season. And people need to wake up, and that we're dealing with people who are dying. Know when to let them go, when it's time to help them and get them ready to cross and step over to the other side. They used to have a thing they said, and I heard Kenneth Hagin teach on it. They used to call what, you know, you can go through the gates of death or you can go through the jaws of death. And they said, too many people hold people and keep them. They go through the jaws of death. They suffer terribly. And they wouldn't have to. They suffer terrible because of greedy, self-centered Christians trying to keep somebody here. They ain't going to stay because they never sought God for 10 minutes to find out that the person needs to go. They're so full of themselves. They have no love for anybody else. All about me in this earth. Us Americans are about as selfish as you can get. Knowing, Lord God, what's going on with this individual? I want the best for the individual. I want the best for the person. What's the best for them? No, it's what's the best for me to keep my emotions so I don't fall apart. I'm an emotional wreck, you know, and I just... So I'm saying, what about that person? They're going to go be with Jesus. What a rotten, awful thing is going to happen to them. God, hallelujah. Get over there in faith. You know, I've watched that where people suffer and suffer, you know, and you really can't talk to people about it because people are so spiritually immature. And I'm talking about spiritually immature. I mean, people are just downright big babies. They don't look at other people. And you start seeing the heart of God. God's greatest interest is about you and me is that we end up in heaven. Amen. That's his number one interest. Amen. It's not our number one interest what we have here on the earth while we're here. His number one interest that you end up with him. That's what Jesus died for. Jesus died, so it don't matter if my faith don't achieve certain things in this earth. It don't matter. The bottom line is this. What's the end? My end is this, and I'm going to look on him and say, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Well, we find out here that Simeon, he says he came by the Spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought in, he said, the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, now you have let you are letting me, your servant, depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. He said, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Hallelujah. Do you see what he quoted? He quoted a scripture by the Spirit about the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Well, we just have found out there were some Gentiles came from Persia. God is working with the Gentiles before the Messiah has ever died. God is working on Gentiles. God's phenomenal. God is in the salvation business, but people don't recognize it. Religion blinds people from the true grace of God and how wonderful he is and what he'll do. See, we can look at the worst of the worst, you know. People today in the church world, they say, well, my God, those pagan magi, I don't want to be around them. They might have a better revelation than God, and a lot of Christians do. Hallelujah. Anyhow, so we want to walk. Well, that wasn't the only thing. So here's an ordinary guy. This is an ordinary guy. And he knows who the Messiah is. Now just think. You walked in that temple. There's this guy, he's called the high priest, is there, and all these other priests are there. There would be, if you went into the temple that day, that temple would have had, there would have been Pharisees, there would have been Sadducees, there would have been scribes in that place. They had, in the courts, they used to have all their little teaching, these groups would get together. This is going on. This guy knows the Messiah, and all the religious people, they don't know. He's broadcasting it. Now, so God's gonna step it up another notch. He steps it up another notch because there's another one. Her name is Anna. Verse 36 says this about Anna. It says, now there was one in verse 36, one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Now, this is interesting. Here we're going to find, here's a lady in here, an old lady. She's a prophetess. She's in the temple, and she got more spirituality than all the rest of the big guns. Yep. Well, it is. All the people at the tops of the ministry don't know what's going on. And this is the place of ministry. You need to understand. This is ministry headquarters. This is ministry headquarters, Israel. I mean, this is the place. This, you know, man, we're broadcasting out of here for sure. You know, we're on 400 stations. And we're, you know, we got this thing going. And here's a woman. She's a prophetess. But she's in there. What's she doing? She's been seeking God. Well, hallelujah. I like Anna. She says, so we have here in verse 38, and it says, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. She broadcast it for everybody that was looking for the Messiah. It got broadcast in the place. Gee, how many people followed it? You see, God's been broadcasting. This happened, these things happened before the Messiah came. The Messiah come, not Messiah, but before the Magi came. So when the Magi came, here's another announcement. And where are they in Jerusalem? The Messiah's been around, the Messiah. Could it be today that the church wouldn't know the Messiah's around? Would they be ready for the return of the Messiah? See, it must become real to us as individuals. It must become real to us. We need to know our time. What time are we in? How close are we to the end of things? Where are we at? See, we're waiting for somebody to write a book and tell me the day. We're waiting for somebody to write. Well, it don't matter if they do. It don't mean you're going to ever be ready. We're running close on the end of it. And Jesus said, many of my people are not going to be ready. So I know this. The church is going to be in the same condition as they were at the flood. The same condition they were when the Messiah came to Israel. Why? The patterns don't ever change. Look, God didn't set this in order. Man did. God keeps ringing the bell. Man keeps rejecting the bell. Man keeps rejecting, somebody else. You tell me when the Messiah shows up. Well, they do tell him the Messiah shows up, and he still don't believe. Why? Well, there's a big thing about you and I as getting personally, get a revelation of things. We need to have that. It needs to become real to us. You know, back in the 80s, and people were teaching in faith, and I remember the teaching things. Things became real because we were seeking God. You need to understand this. Jesus came to Israel, and what's the Messiah say? See, we have the idea that God's here coming to Israel, and God's announced. They pay no attention to the Messiah coming, and the Messiah comes along and says, I'm speaking in parables, so they don't understand. But he tells some people who are called disciples, not the 12. He had more than 12 disciples. The disciples, he said, it's for you to know. We need to understand this. If you're not a disciple, you ain't going to know. You're not going to know. God's not going to reveal himself. He told them, it's for you to know. But he said, for them, they're on the outside. Why? They heard God say something. They didn't want to find out for themselves what it meant. See, he gave the parable of the sower, and it says the disciples with the 12 came to him, and they asked him, what did you mean by that, what you said about that parable of the sower? And Jesus said, it's for you to know. But them, they're on the outside. Why? They could have came and asked too. But you know what people do? They do this all the time. Preacher preaches something, and they don't like it. They walk out the door grumbling. And God will not reveal himself to them. He won't do it. They don't stop and ask a question. No, they just grumble. And God won't reveal himself. We're living in that day. This is happening all over the place. People are just happy with what they got. We don't want any more revelation of God. God don't need to become no more real to me. I know a lot of scriptures. No, it's more than this. It's understanding the times. It's understanding the times that you live in. There's nothing matter with why would we seek him? I don't know everything about it. But if we don't preach what we know and we don't start seeking God, you don't ever find out. The Bible says this, if you seek, you find. It didn't say you're just going to get it because sin will just drop on you one day. No, the seeker finds. Not the one that's not seeking. The seeker finds. To the seeker, we knock. And so, are you knocking? No, I'm just knocking everybody that's preaching. I'm not. It's not up to a bunch of ministers to make sure I know something. Amen. I have the Holy Ghost in me. I have to seek God. Amen. It's not up to somebody else to try to give me a personal relationship. They can't do it. It can't happen. We have a babyhood Christianity where everybody's trying to, it's just socialism is what it is everybody's trying to get something from somebody else. It'd be good to have my own. I want my own. I want to know Jesus because I know Jesus. I don't want to, I've watched people do this with ministers. The only reason that they ever know about God is what they knew through another person. That's like a child never learns to know their parent. Tries to know their parents through the other siblings. Well, that would never work too well. You gotta learn. You gotta have that relationship. You can't get around it any other way. We're trying to have it. You can't have it just through a book. There's a spirit that you need. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit, the communion that the Holy Spirit takes you. And man, he makes Jesus real to you. Where you hear from Jesus, where Jesus is revealing himself to you. See, we need to understand the importance that we have to have as we knowing God. I don't know, maybe I just took for granted, but I've understood these things, and I understood I had to seek God. If I was going to know Him, I had to know Him. I couldn't just rely on somebody else. Thank God for that wonderful teaching and things that I had. But those things didn't become real till I took them. And I took them, and I put them out there and that stuff. And I sought God for myself to find out where I wanted revelation. I wanted to know how it worked. Where I wasn't just copying some guy, walking around making some faith statements, because some people say, well, you just confess this or confess that. Faith ain't that. Faith is a thing of the heart. It's what you are. Your spirit is what you are. Just because you can quote scriptures don't mean you're a person of faith. Amen. Don't mean you have any faith at all. Amen. When you're sold out, when you say that, you don't doubt. There's not a bit of doubt in you that it's going to work. Not a bit of doubt. See, most people never arrive at that. They never wait long enough or get in the presence of God in His Word long enough till they don't doubt. They just run off with their gun loaded. You know, I'm just going to make a confession and this is going to happen or that's going to. No. And they walk around the Word and they say, well, you know, the Messiah, and we're living in the last days. Do you really think so? Do you believe Jesus is coming back? Well, then what do you have a 401k for? Why you keep saving money? Just throwing it out there. I ain't saying anything wrong with it, but let's get it out there. Well, Jesus come back tomorrow. Well, why are you saving like He ain't? Well, hey, look, I am not knocking saving, but I'm just saying out there, it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to tell you what, the day will come when the true believer is going to know it and they ain't going to be preparing for nothing else. They will prepare for nothing else. The only message that will be told. I had the Lord tell me this Himself. He said, the message is going to be the church telling people they're leaving, inviting them to go along. That's going to be the message. We're leaving. And I'll guarantee you, we'll be knocked by a lot of people who say they're believers. Oh, I've heard that stuff before. I've heard that. Well, go ahead. Don't you believe it? And you and the Antichrist will have a great time. Yeah. I don't want to know how it goes. Amen. I don't want to know how it goes. And it will. It will come to that. See, this is why we want to see. We want to be ready. I want to know in the time I'm living. I don't want to have the Messiah coming. And I didn't expect it. I thought, well, you know, but if it isn't time yet, then I need to be doing something. What should I be doing? See, people don't know. We're going on like we did 50 years ago. People are just going on the same. Talking about, no, I'm sorry. You know, when harvest time comes, the farmer don't have the planter out. You know, we need to, they understand the season and the time, and we need to know there's times and season. What are we supposed to be doing? What time is it? What does God want me to do at this time? These are really hugely important things that you and I believers, you know, I'm not saying these things to criticize everybody, but we need to come to a spiritual place in Christianity. It needs to come to a place of maturity. Somebody's got to be an adult. Mm-hmm. We just got so many babies. I mean, the church ain't nothing but a playpen. That's all it is, a playpen. Of people who don't know, are not sure of things. Up and down, in and out, all the time. Or a Christian walk. You know, most Christians are up and down and in and out all the time. You know, I've lived around and watched it. People just have a hard time. They have a hard, up and out. Never come to a spiritual maturity. Never come to the place where I'm going to tell you, don't matter what happens, I'm following God. Amen. I've already come to that place. I tell you, I don't care what day goes on. And I tell you what, you know, Wanda and I could sit and tell you things going on and that stuff, and you want to sit around and you think, man, you know, you get over the things. Well, why did this happen to me? I don't care. All I know this is God's on my side. No matter what happens, He's going to take care of me. I don't care how. I can go through the hard things. I can fight wars. I can fight spiritual wars. I'm not a whiner. And I'm not going to be a whiner. God called me to be a leader, not a whiner. Families need leaders, and they ain't got them today. Men ain't leaders lots of times. Men are whiners. Self-centered lives. We need leaders. You know? My job is to be an example in my family. My job is to be an example, you know. You know, my wife don't need a whiner, another kid to take care of. Amen. You got so much of that going on today. I have to pat and pet these boys and sort of kicking them in the rear end. And tell them, get out there and do something, you moron. Well, I feel feel sorry. I feel sorry for the ladies. I do. These big babies. I have to take care of them all the time. So, you know, my wife doesn't have to take my job. I have a place and a job. And I tell you what, you know, you go through things, whether I go through my wife and I hold each other. It ain't a time when trouble comes. When trouble comes, that's the time, you know, that it's time to go to war.
Amen. Amen.
Ain't the time to be whining. Well, why did this happen to me? Say, no, when the trouble comes at times, somebody's got to stand up.
Amen.
And I've given this up all the time. I got to be the first one to do it in my family because I'm the guy that God put his head in the family. I could be the first guy to stand up. I'm going to be the first one to stand up for God, my family.
Amen.
Not the rest of the family have to drag me along. It's my job to stand up. It's my job to hold the banner up.
Amen.
They ain't going to grab banners and hold them up. They're going to end up following whatever the leaders do. And you get ones that want to walk and then they got to drag in the family. You don't want that stuff. Can't have it. Can't have that. You know? My wife needs a fighter.
Amen.
She don't need a whiner.
Amen.
Whether anything's happening or not, you don't need that. There's enough going on out there. But in the same way, you know, she ain't no quitter. So, hallelujah!
Amen.
It's a good team.
Amen.
It's a good team. And I just encourage, that's what you want. We're called to that. That's what gives strength.
Amen.
In the thing. Do you know where you stand? You know, my parents, they didn't always have the greatest relationship with each other, but one thing that they had was very strong, their faith in God. No matter what went on, that never changed. That never changed. They stood in that place. And you know what? Caused a lot of stability in the family. You know, today we make all the effort into everybody, you know, just everybody getting along with each other, so wonderful. But I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't got faith in God and there's no stability in that, the rest of it really don't matter much. You're just going to have a carnal family that's trying to get along and just doing stuff, and it isn't. Their faith in God really was really a blessing down to the whole family. They didn't move from it. They never changed. They were like God. They changed not. No matter what happened or went wrong, you would have never heard from their mouth a complaint about God, ever. Hallelujah. I want to live like that.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Let's live like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you, God's making champions. That's what He is. Because you know what? This world needs champions. There's so much out here. We need people that are saying, we need people that are in the game and not, you know, there's too many people who are in the stands of Christianity or they're on the bench. They don't play. They never get off the bench or they're just sitting in the stands. But I'm going to tell you what. It's like I've always been. I've never been a really big sports fan, watching other people play. Because it never meant that much to me to watch who. I didn't care if they won or not. I didn't get a nickel if they won or not. No matter how much I root them, they won. I never got nothing from it. So I thought, well, why make a big deal spending money? Now, if they'd send me a check, I'd be a big fan. I'd root for them like crazy. Send me a check, I'll cheer and jump up and down and carry on. Other than that, it's all right. If they want to play, go ahead and do it. But I'm not one of your big fans. But I've always been the thing, if you're going to do something, you get in it. That's the players. And see, I'm in this Christianity thing. I'm in it.
Amen.
And I'm a player on the field. I'm not good on the bench. Because you know what? I'll fall asleep or leave. That's the kind. I am not interested on the bench. Let's play on the field. Let's get on the field. You want to be a player. And that's what we need today. We need players on the field. We need people who are on the field, people who are standing. People won't move from God. Those people, God will do marvelous and wonderful things for. Simeon was on the field. Hallelujah. Anna was on the field. There was a bunch of players. The majority of the people were all players in that temple. They were players, but they were all benched. They knew all the stuff. They knew all the rules to the game. They knew all the stuff. They had knew it all. But were they playing? Nope. Had no idea what was going on around them. The Messiah came, carried straight through their stupid temple. And they didn't know it. They weren't on the field. Two people were on the field in there and knew it. Two players. And you know what? God put their names in the book. Hallelujah. God got their names in the book. Hallelujah. Praise God, we got our name. Get your name in the book. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All the rest of them are sitting there talking religion. And those two knew God. Hallelujah. They heard from heaven. Father, I just want to thank you today. Father, if there's anything we desire and crave, Lord God, is to hear from you. Lord, we've heard so much, and just like the scripture tells us, there's so many voices. But Lord, Jesus, you said yourself that your sheep hear your voice, and they know your voice. Hallelujah. Lord God, I declare, I hear your voice and I know your voice. And I want to thank you. Because Lord God, we're your sheep. Hallelujah. We're yours. We belong to you. You, Lord Jesus, you can rule over us. We don't mind at all. I don't mind at all being ruled over by you. Lord, you're the best, Lord. You're more interested in me than I am. Amen. You're more interested in my well-being and success than I am. Amen. You're in phenomenal, and your wisdom is so far beyond mine. I wouldn't know anything if it wouldn't be for you. Amen. Lord, it's like the scriptures say, I wouldn't know how to get up. I wouldn't know how to go out. I wouldn't know how to come in if it wouldn't be for you. Lord God, I spent a life of trying to go out and trying to come in, and all I did was stumble and fall and stumble and fall till Jesus, you got in the middle of my life. Amen. And I just want to thank you, hallelujah, that I can get up and go out and I can come in. Hallelujah. And I just say thank you. You're such a wonderful God. Amen. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord, that you never quit on me. Lord, I sure did try to quit on you, but you never quit on me. Lord, you just kept coming back. And I want to thank you because you put people in my life around me, Lord God, that helped me, my parents. Lord, you put people around us. And I just want to thank you for the people that you put around us. And Lord God, no matter how little it might seem that they did, but Lord God, if they put anything from you in me, is well worth it, every bit of it. Lord God, Lord, I'm not interested where they missed it. I'm only interested where they made it. Hallelujah. I'm only interested in the things that they knew and understood and they put into me, Lord God, that helped my life. And Lord God, I thank you. Lord, they're getting rewarded today. Hallelujah. They're in heaven being rewarded. And I just want to say thank you. Father, I can't wait when I get to heaven after I meet and talk to you, Jesus. I want to just tell them how much I thank them for their walk with God, that they were people, hallelujah, that they didn't quit ever on Jesus. And I got to be born in a family with someone who didn't quit on Jesus. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. Hallelujah. Father, I truly, without a doubt, believe that the good work that you started in us, you're going to bring it to completion. Father, we're hungry, and we're hungry. Lord God, you wouldn't put these things in me to say to them, Lord God, just throwing this stuff away. They're hungered. They want something more. They want something deeper. They want to walk in a fuller place. Lord, that's their desires. And for the God, I don't believe they're going to be happy till they get it. Hallelujah. And Father, reveal to us. We want an understanding of our time, exactly where we're at. Because Lord God, we know our clock in the picture of the whole thing is down into the seconds. Well, a second with you can be a long time, Lord. But still, we're down in that place and time of getting ready and getting others ready. Amen. Father, anoint us to preach the truth. Anoint us to tell people the truth. Anoint us, Lord God. Lord, you said that I was going to be a flagman on the road. And Lord God, I'm going to wave the flag because there's much danger for many. Lord God, who are not hearing or paying attention, they're not doing it. But Lord God, you love them. You love them. And you keep waving the flag and you keep waving. How wonderful you are. How gracious. Lord God, you aren't waving the flag because you're mad at them. You love them. Amen. Hallelujah. You want them to turn. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I want to thank you that today hearts are being turned. Amen. The word is going out. Father, hallelujah. You were walking forward in the Spirit. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, anoint these people. Put your hand upon them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Oh, Lord God, you said we're supposed to pray for the Lord of harvest to send laborers. Lord God, anoint them. as a laborer. Anoint him in the name of Jesus. Your hand upon him. Full of the grace of God. Full of the ability of God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ being glorified through them. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus being magnified, coming forth big. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, you're a great work. You're a great work working through them. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, I want to thank you that you've given us a position and a place of work in your vineyard. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. We ain't just a bunch of hired hands. Lord God, this inheritance is ours too. Hallelujah. We're workers together with you. Glory to God, and what a privilege it is to work together with you. So we thank you. Hallelujah. Father, I expect big and great and mighty things out of them. I think you're going to do wonderful and glorious things, that Jesus Christ is going to be glorified and magnified. Hallelujah. Lord God, that people will look and say, my words, those people know God. They know God. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it all. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, glory to God.